Well, today is what is called Laetare Sunday. It's a Latin word for rejoicing. And there's only two times a year that the priest wears this color vestment. Once in Advent on Gaudete Sunday and once in Lent on Laetare Sunday. And there are six words that every priest dreads to hear after Mass. Father, you look great in pink. The actual color is rose. It's a liturgical color. How does the church get this color? Well, you take the purple of Lent and you mix it with the white of Easter, the celebration of Easter, and they put a little bit of the white color into the violet, into the purple, and it produces this rose color. It's only worn twice a year. And the reason why it's worn today is to remind you that we are more than halfway through Lent. So persevere, right? Persevere in your prayer, persevere in your sacrifices and in your penance, because Easter is coming. So the church says rejoice, because you've made it halfway, more than halfway, and persevere in your Lenten observances. One day a boy came home from CCD and he says to his dad, "Dad, I figured out what the Bible means." And the father said, "What do you mean?" And the kid said, "The Bible is spelled B-I-B-L-E, right?" And the dad said, "Yes." And the boy said, "I figured it out. It means basic information before leaving Earth." And we as Catholics need to get back to the basics. And today's gospel is perfect because one sentence summarizes the entire Old Testament and New Testament. And that is John 3:16. It's the heart of the gospel. It is the heart of the message of Christianity and of our faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. There it is. That's the heart of why we are Christian. This famous John 3:16, you'll see at football games and baseball games, you'll see sometimes people holding up signs, 3:16. Sometimes they actually put it on their makeup and all those sorts of things. So it's a very famous quote. Let's unpack it for a second. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. See, that's what love is. Love is giving. Love is self-donating. It is sacrificial love. And God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. From all eternity, the Father begets the Son. The love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. So God loved the world so much that he was willing to give his Son to die for us, to die on the cross for us. He was willing to send his Son to make up for the sin of Adam and Eve and the sin of the entire human race. So God loved the world so much that he's willing to give us his Son, so that everyone who believes in him, that word belief in Scripture means much more than just like accepting Jesus. The word belief always includes obedience, not only acceptance of the teachings, but a way of living one's life in obedience to the truth, in obedience to Christ and his word. So those who believe in him, who obey him, might not perish. They might not go to hell, but instead have eternal life in heaven with Almighty God. And there it is, the entire Old and New Testament summarized in one verse. But the Lord goes on to tell Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus is an interesting person. He was one of the religious leaders, probably a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the Pharisees. And Nicodemus, one thing you'll notice is that there's something missing in front of Nicodemus's name, and that is the word saint. He's never been canonized by the church because he never really came out of the darkness. He always comes to Jesus at night and talks to the Lord. And it says he is a secret follower of Christ. But the thing is, secret followers of Christ never get canonized. You know, perhaps he was lacking that fortitude, that courage. Yes, Nicodemus helped Joseph of Arimathea with the burial of the Lord. But yeah, he was never willing to be, let's say, one of the outward followers, never willing to be an apostle, an outward disciple of Christ. But the Lord says something very interesting to Nicodemus. And he gives this image from the Old Testament. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. What does this mean? Well, in the Old Testament, the Israelite people were very stubborn and they sinned against God. And so God allowed poisonous serpents to get in their camp, and many people got poisoned by the snake bite. Many of them were dying. And so they went to Moses and said, Moses, intercede for us. Talk to God. Tell us what we should do. And God told Moses, make a serpent out of bronze, hang it up on a tree, on a pole, on a wooden pole, and that those who would gaze upon it, who would look at it, believing that they would be cured, would be healed of the poison of the snake bite. And so it was a matter of obedience. See, they were having all sorts of troubles because they were disobeying God and they were turning away from God. But now, if they would turn and obey God and obey his word as Moses taught them, they would be healed. So Moses fashioned a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. My understanding of this is the reason why the medical profession has that symbol, right, of the pole with the serpent. It's always been a symbol of healing going way back thousands of years. And so Moses lifted up this serpent, this bronze serpent on the pole. Again, the serpent looked like it might have been poisonous, but it wasn't. And when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he looked like he was a sinner, but he wasn't. He took our sins upon himself. So just as that bronze serpent did not have any poison in it, Jesus, the Son of God, when he was lifted up on the cross, had no sin in him. And those who gaze upon Christ with faith and who believe in Christ can be healed of the poison of sin. Think of the good thief next to Christ. He said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The good thief looked at Jesus with faith and he was healed of his sin. And Jesus says, this day you'll be with me in paradise. The centurion said, truly this man was the Son of God. The centurion was converted because he gazed upon Christ in faith. That's what the Lord is telling Nicodemus. Moses lifted up a serpent. The Son of Man will be lifted up in the crucifixion. And of course, the lifting up also refers to his lifting up at the resurrection when he rose from the dead and when he lifted up to heaven at his ascension. I think for us as Catholics, it has a very beautiful meaning too. Every time we come to Mass, the Lord is lifted up in the Eucharist. And we gaze upon Christ. And the priest lifts up the host. And in our hearts we say, my Lord and my God. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you enter under my roof. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed. Right? We want healing. Say the word and my soul shall be healed. Jesus is being lifted up at every Mass. That's why we go to Eucharistic adoration. Because the monstrance captures that moment of the elevation of the host and prolongs it. So we just don't have a few seconds, we have a few minutes or a few hours that we can spend before the Lord in Eucharistic adoration. And we gaze upon Christ. And we say, my Lord and my God, we ask for healing every time we come to Mass. So what I would recommend is that we really love and cherish this image of Christ on the cross. As you know, every Catholic Church has a crucifix. The crucifix is such a beautiful symbol that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Sometimes people say, why do you Catholics still have Jesus dying on the cross? He's risen from the dead. Didn't you get that message? Yes, of course we know Jesus is risen from the dead. But don't forget, that shows us how much he loves us, that he was willing to die for us. And you can always say to them, well, why do you guys have nativity scenes at Christmas? He's not a baby anymore either, is he? Of course he's not a baby anymore, and he's not dead on the cross either. He's risen from the dead. But at Christmas, we want to remind ourselves of the humility of God who became a little baby. And throughout the year, we want to remind ourselves that God loved us so much that he died on the cross and he suffered so much for each one of us. So we should have a great love for the crucifix. We should have one in every home. Make sure you have one in your house. If a young couple is getting married, give it to them as a wedding gift so they can place a crucifix in their home. And it really, I believe, summarizes just how much God loves us. So Mother Teresa once said, if you ever doubt that God loves you, look at a crucifix. Because there you see that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him might not perish, but might have eternal life.